Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
We are in for something special.
This is Triple M. It's the weekend. Our favourite time of the week. Every exhilarating moment live. Here on digital radio and on the Triple M app. For Ream Hot Water, this is Triple M Footy.
And a very good afternoon. Listening right across the Triple M network, we rock the NRL. We walk Origin. We rock Origin too. And we'll be live at every Origin game, your home of Origin, in 2019. So make sure you're listening to Triple M because we've got everything for you when it comes to footy right through to the finals and the grand final. Indigenous round. Of all the specialist rounds we have, I especially love Indigenous round. And the jumpers so far have been outstanding, especially Gold Star to Parramatta for that jumper they turned out on Thursday night. Broncos beat the Warriors 8-2, a low-scoring game, but the Brisbane Broncos get the chockies there. And that's three in a row, so it would appear, I don't know how far they can go, Gordy, in this season, but certainly they're back on track with three wins in a row.
Yeah, absolutely. They beat Manly a couple of weeks ago in a magic round, and they turned a couple of corners, but then the big one to beat the Roosters up in Queensland, and then to carry it on over there in New Zealand. It's always been a tough road trip for, like, Brisbane. You know, the Warriors really turn up and want to play and stick it to them, and what was it? I think 2-2 at halftime. I think the Broncos got a penalty right on halftime to even it up. But it was a really tough, gritty performance that Brisbane needed, and they defended. And I think it gives you a lot of confidence when you defend your way to a victory. Warriors had their chances, but just couldn't get across the line.
The good thing I thought about it was the fact that the Warriors, for much of the game, had the running and looked like they were, certainly in the first half, getting the better of the Broncos, who just hung in and defended their try line for so long. So, as you said, Gordon, to be able to then defend their way to victory, get home on the strength of one try, I think that's a real boost for the club, particularly a club that's really struggled to find those tough wins in the wins that they did have. So I think it's a real positive sign for Broncos.
And Hoops, Paul touched on it earlier that James Seguiaro is now on the roster at the Broncos. I always found it hard that Seguiaro struggled to find a club because he is such a handy little player and he goes at 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, well, he showed that since he's joined the Brisbane Broncos, he's made an immediate impact. But the other young blokes who are doing a terrific job, a young Jake Turpin, the dummy half who got an opportunity when McCulloch was injured, and then Tom Dearden, the little rookie halfback. You know, he had a tough initiation up against the Bunnies in his debut game. But ever since then, considering his age and where he's at, he's doing a terrific job.
Yeah, he's improving, Dearden, isn't he?
And Turpin too, Gordy.
What about his defence, Turpin, last night?
Yeah, he's... it's sort of McCulloch, you know what I mean? Like, there was Jake Granville sitting underneath him. He went and won a competition. And Andrew McCulloch is one of those real steady players. You know, he's good game and bad game. There's not much in between. But Turpin seems to have a little bit. And then when Seguiaro comes on, he just changes the game. And those two would probably cost the same amount as a McCulloch. You know, it was a really good performance for Brisbane. I think they're going into the bye. There's been a lot spoken about them, but it comes down to their front row. Matt Lodge is finally playing big and tough, and Payne Haas, who we just spoke about earlier, about playing, you know, after 10 or 12 games that we talked about in Origin, he was really consistent again, just getting out there and doing his job.
Gordon, just from your point of view, do you think there is a minimum time or amount of games that players should play in Origin? I don't mean it as a means to prevent
club games before they get picked.
Yeah, before they get, and I mean it from a point of being able to make sure that they're tough enough and that they're up for the Origin experience.
I don't know, because Paul, you could play 100 games and you don't know whether you're ready for Origin. It's just one of those beasts, or Test football, or even Grand Finals. There's been some great players. I suppose there's certain plays, there's certain moments, there's the way you play that you know that they could sort of go and play in Origin and fall back on it. You would think you've got to have at least 50 games underneath you to make an impact at Origin. But then you look at Ponga, that got thrown in his second year of first grade in Newcastle, got thrown in the middle, which I thought he had no chance of going out in an Origin game, a bloke that's halfback, fullback, didn't know, you know, really know, got this silky smooth sidestep that the Cowboys, and gone to Newcastle, the bottom of the, you know, like a wooden spoon side the year before and play the way he did. It was unbelievable. So, but then he walks off and said, yeah, it was just like a normal game, just a bit faster. So some people can do it. But in my mindset, to be in the middle of the park, to get beaten up, take a tough carry, and they're all tough carries, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if you ever know whether you're ready for Origin.
All right, well, the Broncos have the bye, as you said, Del, and then they'll come back, and their next game is against the Titans, who also won this round of footy. We've got Greg Alexander on standby. We'll go to him shortly. But what about the New Zealand Warriors? Hoops, they've won 4, they've lost 7. They're gradually sort of sifting their way to the bottom of the competition ladder, and I don't think that's going to surprise too many people.
Now, they're an erratic side, Maroon, and sadly it's been their Achilles heel for many, many seasons. Now, they made the finals last year. Cody Nikorima's made a difference, but last night against the Brisbane Broncos, they just didn't have the answers.
But we're coming into their time of season.
Yeah,
Origin's their time of season. That's generally when they make a move up the ladder because they don't lose any players. But look, I thought there were good signs there from the Warriors last night.
Absolutely.
But they went out and they played a committed Brisbane side. They competed with a committed Brisbane side. And unfortunately, they had opportunities. They just couldn't convert opportunities. So they created enough. They just didn't get it over. And that was the nature of the game, that both sides' scramble defence was so good. But Warriors fans, I don't think, should be discouraged from last night's performance.
No.
I thought they were reasonably good.
There was a couple of decisions that went against him. I think Klein, when he got up to play the ball and he puts the ball down, he called it a knock-on. There was a couple of decisions when they were coming in the last dying sort of stages where the Warriors had a chance to maybe throw like a little bit more at the Broncos, but they just couldn't get that roll on. The Warriors defended good. They did everything, but still getting in that battle and not making mistakes. You know, I don't think they can throw 5 or 7 sets in a row because they'll come up with something. That's the key. I thought it was good signs by the Warriors, but still, you know, they didn't win.
All right. This is Sunday NRL, and we are going to speak to Greg Alexander very shortly. Also, Newcastle Knights coach Nathan Brown. The Knights have now won 5 in a row, and they looked absolutely scintillating against the Roosters.
He was getting sacked 5 weeks ago.
He was, wasn't he? Who'd be an NRL coach? I mean, who really? Who would be an NRL? Who are they talking about sacking now? Maybe the bloke over at the Warriors might be the... that doesn't mean you're going to get sacked.
Mate, I think Wayne Bennett.
I don't think so, mate.
Oh, yeah.
Hang on. What about the... team just north of the border.
No chance.
Almost on the border.
No chance. The Titans, no. I tell you what, the Titans players, there was Neil Henry that was there, and he wasn't good enough. It's the Titans players that have got to have a look at themselves, right? So it's not the coaching staff.
Okay.
Let me ask you this, Anthony. Okay. If Bennett wins the grand final with Rabbitohs this year...
I believe he will.
Where does it sit between Maguire and Bennett?
Well, if I can answer that, I would say it's just another one of those wonderful yarns that come out of South Sydney. Now we get the greatest coach in the game.
That wasn't the question.
Yeah, I'm answering the question. You asked the question, or was I asked the question?
Answer it.
Well, I'm answering it. I can't answer it with a yes or no.
Yes, you can. Bennett or Matt?
Did anyone... Well, no, they don't. I don't have to compare them like that. This would be a wonderful victory when they win
that
the Premiership.
That was the question.
No, it wasn't. It was, where would the question sit? The question was, why don't you open your ears? Do you even watch any footy? You know what you should do through the week? Can I tell you what you should do through the week? You work at Fox League. You know what they do? They show 24 hours non-stop NRL. Why don't you sit on your ass, grab yourself a beer, and watch it for half an hour, and you'll know what's going on. And it'll sit right up there, I'd say, Paul. I think it'd sit right up there. This is Sunday Triple M NRL. We'll speak to Greg Alexander shortly as Triple M rocks the footy. Sunday Triple M NRL right across the Triple M network and the scores thanks to Tyre Power. We've got a game kicking off at 2 o'clock today. We'll have a score updates for you between Melbourne and the Doggies, so stay right there. And all scores are thanks to Tyre Power. Buy 4 or more selected Michelin tyres. You will receive a gift card valued at $100. Last night, Souths over the Tigers, 32-16. Earlier, Broncos beat the Warriors 8-2. And the day kicked off with the Cowboys beating the Raiders, 22 points to 16. An injury there to Josh Hodgson. A scan coming up on the thumb. That might be a major one, a major out for the Raiders. We'll keep an eye on it. Origin time, we're only, Wednesday week and we're into it. So selection for the New South Wales time happens later on today. That side gets released. So let's speak to a New South Wales Origin legend, played over 270 first grade games, a member of the Fox League team, Greg Brandy Alexander. Hello, old mate.
G'day, Moran.
geez, I tell you what, you're always busy, but this year you're busier than ever. You've got your dramas at Penrith, you've got the halves situation in New South Wales. Where do you find the time?
Yeah, I know. I got four boys too that all play sport and a lot of sport, so it's a juggling act, Maroon, but we're getting there.
Yeah, man about town.
Randy, is the team picked?
Not yet, Kenty. No, not finalised.
Who are you waiting to get through today?
Well, there's a handful of blokes that are in action today. So, you know, and I think we've learned last year and this year that you can't pick your side before it's done. Otherwise, you're waiting on injuries and so a lot of players are in the mix and we've got players that we think are going to be there, and then, you know, there's players that are in the mix of those positions that if someone falls over, we go to the next one. So, no, it's not finalised.
Well, speaking of which, though, take us through your weekend, because it's been, I think every day you've lost someone else.
Yeah, look, it was really disappointing. And Luke Keary was obviously, you know, right in calculations. And for him to be knocked out in the fashion that he was, and, you know, Luke's had a bit of a problem with concussions this year already, so that was really disappointing. I really felt for Luke. Adam Reynolds, of course, has been cleared, which is great news. That is really good news, but it didn't look good last night.
Mm. On Adam Reynolds, Brandy, does that mean that the fact that he has been cleared, does that mean that you most likely go with the South Sydney combination of Cody Walker, Adam Reynolds, Damien Cook, or are you thinking you'll probably still remain loyal and go with the incumbent in Nathan Cleary?
Not sure, James. Not exactly sure. There's a good South Sydney combination there with Cody. You know, you would think Cody Walker, possibly ahead of James Maloney. Damien Cook will be there. Cameron Murray, will be there somewhere, you would think, but you know, as for the halfback, we won't know that. We won't know the result of that until later on. We're going to chat. Freddie and I are both in Wollongong for the Dragons and Sharks game, so we'll sort things out before the announcement.
Brady, what do you expect to change, though? Because, look, Cody Walker's played his game. Adam Reynolds has played his game. Nathan Cleary's played his game. Damien Cook's played his game. Tedesco's played his game. So your spine candidates, it appears, have all got through the weekend.
Yeah, we're just not sure which, you know, whether the South Sydney combination holds the sway, Candy, or whether Nathan Cleary's effort on Thursday night. Nathan Cleary's game, look, Nathan's game, even though he's been playing in a side that hasn't been going great, the nuts and bolts of Nathan's game, which are effort-based, have been there, and then the blowtorch was applied to Nathan. He knew that he needed not only to have a big game, but he needed to get Penrith home. It's not very often that a player stands up under that sort of pressure. And there's been a few phone calls, both last year and this year, to players that, Freddie, we've decided to, you know, chat the players about they've got a chance to make this side. And not many have excelled in the game that has, come after a phone call. So Nathan knew he needed a big game. He needed a man of the match performance. And even though the game wasn't of great standard, it was an under pressure performance by Nathan. And we'll just see if that's enough to get him home.
Hey, Brandy, there's always pressure when you play Origin. Is there a different pressure this year for New South Wales, because they will be favourites without Cameron Smith and Billy Slater? Last year, Cameron was going to play until 2 weeks out, and, you know, it was an unknown.
Is Cameron not playing, Cameron Smith?
I don't think he is, mate. I would love him to be playing. I'd love Wally Lewis to be playing, and probably Alfie to be halfback, but they've all retired.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Gordy, I don't think it matters whether you win. The expectation, you know, might be different.
Yeah.
From outside, but I think the pressure from within. I watching last year's series and watching the players get ready for all three games. I couldn't imagine any more pressure because you've come off a, you know, you're part of a winning series. And when you think about it, like, the players are well aware of how close last year's series was. You know, it was a win to Queensland, so Queensland are coming off a win. They were the last team to win a Origin game. And we won two nail-biters, so there was very little between the teams. And, you know, I know Queensland like to say, well, you know, New South Wales come in as favourites, but when you've got a Ponga, Munster, you know, if Cherry's fit, it's an outstanding team with, you know, great finishers, Corey Oates, Dane Gagai. Mate, it's a great Queensland team. It mightn't have Billy Slater and Cameron Smith, but, you know, the blokes that have come in to, and you look at that Queensland spine, that's pretty, there's some pretty special players there.
So, Brandy, how do you shut down? Let's get into the game. Ponga's obviously in such great touch at the moment. How do you pick a team that shuts him down?
I don't know if you pick a team to shut Ponga down.
But you certainly think about it, though. That's got to be a consideration. Like, particularly at that right centre, you have to pick someone who you're confident can do the job, because Munster's out there also.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yep. No, you're right. Yep, that does come into calculations when that right side needs to be a wall and they need to know exactly what they're doing and, whatever side we come up with and whatever players we put in those positions, you know, I'll have confidence that they'll be able to get the job done.
Do you ever pick players and you say, well, okay, if we put him in, then we can't possibly have him. But if we don't pick him, then we can pick him. So it's all, you know, I'm talking about the combinations here. Like, how close do some guys come, but because you've picked someone else ahead of, in another position, ahead of someone else, they then get ruled out?
Yeah, well, that's been the chat really around the halves. We've got to take into consideration combinations, club combinations, but also which one we think, which halves will go the best, and they're going to play left and right. Which halves are stronger defensively? That comes into consideration. That is part of the selection process. You need to. There's plenty of things to take into consideration. Incumbency, what weight do you place on that? You place, I think, a different weight on different players. And you also have, because when you're thinking about incumbency, you have to think about the players that are putting pressure on those players and what they bring to the side.
Yeah.
And you also have to think of club combinations and how important is that? Is that the BN of a player making the side, the fact that he's got someone inside or outside him that he plays club football with and has a good understanding with. So I don't even know what percentage, and you can't just generalise, because each player is different and each player putting pressure on that incumbent player is different and brings different skills. So you have to take all that into consideration when you're picking a side. And, you know, in the end, you just have to say, well, which player are we better? Are we a better chance of winning with this player? Player A or player B?
Okay, so let me ask you this.
Who's going to help the side more?
We spoke earlier in the show about Adam Reynolds' chances of being picked at halfback, and we spoke about the fact that if he's got Cody Walker outside him, he's got Damien Cook inside him, then he's got the great club combination, which has always been a strength of New South Wales. When New South Wales has been strong, is those club combinations. And the great strength for a Cody Walker, who, given the phone call from Freddie, now looks like he's been slotted in to the number six jersey, is that he's such an instinctive player. But the other part to that is that if he's got Cook and Reynolds playing with him, because they play club football with him, they're able to say, well, okay, he's just doing his thing now, and we'll just get about and do what we do when he normally does this at club level. So that's, I imagine, what Adam Reynolds brings to the halfback position if you pick him. What does Nathan Cleary bring?
Nathan's effort in a game in 80 minutes of football is remarkable, really. And as I said, even though Penrith haven't been playing well and he hasn't been starring, but Nathan isn't that. Nathan's not a Cody Walker type player. Nathan's not going to win a game by, you know, with three try assists and two line breaks a game. But what Nathan brings is Nathan's rock solid defence. Nathan's a good kicker of the footy. I thought his kicking game was great towards the back end of the Eels game when they hit the front. Just kept putting it in the corner. And Nathan's effort on effort is amazing. And, you know, I'm not a great believer in stats and numbers, but Nathan Cleary gets through a fair bit of work in 80 minutes of football. And while it mightn't be the starring plays, it's the plays that you're looking for in Origin. So if I was to break down what Nathan Cleary is, how I see him as a footballer, I don't think Nathan's not going to win a Dally M. He might one day, but at the moment, Nathan's not winning a Dally M trophy as the best player in the competition. But Nathan's game suits Origin.
It sounds like you're leaning a bit more towards Nathan Brandy.
No, not re- well. I might be,
yeah.
Gordy.
Yeah.
But there's another few blokes that help pick the side. I think both players have. You know, the short kicking game of Adam Reynolds is arguably the best in the competition. And I watched Adam last night warm up, and he put in a little session of general play kicking. Mate, he puts it on the spot, Adam Reynolds. So, that's another thing that Adam brings to the team, is that precise general kicking game that is crucial in Origin. So, there's a lot to take into account.
Just while we've got you as well, Brandy, can you just run us through what happened with Mitchell Pearce? Like, obviously, he's 5 Man of the Match awards in a row, and the Knights have that brilliant win up there in Newcastle Friday night. And then, has he got an injury or?
Yeah, he's got an injury, James. He's got a groin. They got the bye this week, but word that I got, and look, Freddie was in the sheds with him. So, if they were playing this week, Nathan Brown said, I don't think Mitchell would be fit to play. So. I know Freddie went in and had a chat with Mitchell Pearce, I think just on the back of his recent good form, it was certainly Freddie was interested in just having a chat to see where he was at, whether that meant that Mitchell was going to be in the mix of possibly playing for New South Wales. I'm not sure.
Hey, Brandy, before you go, mate, we haven't at all touched on Panthers, who finally got a win after 6 or 7 weeks on Thursday night. It wasn't brilliant, but the defence was a lot better. They looked a lot better, but they've got another tough ask this week against Manly. Are they moving in the right direction, do you think?
Well, a win's a start, Maroon. 6 weeks under the pump, I got sick of answering what was wrong with Penrith, and it was that, there was a whole lot of theories about why Penrith weren't performing. And most of the time, those reasons sound a little bit hollow. But all they needed to do was win a footy game and hopefully gain some confidence out of it, because they weren't playing with confidence. The start of that 6-week losing streak, I thought they looked distracted and really not knowing whether they were playing to win, lose or draw, and it didn't seem to matter whether it was either three. It was a tougher start to the season than I think a lot of people realised, and probably tougher than what a lot of us even inside at Penrith realised that the players went through. And, we've got a good team. We just haven't been putting it on the park, and hopefully a win will just generate a level of confidence that allows us to get better from here.
Yeah, good on you, Brandy. Hey, have a good call today on Fox League from the beautiful city of Wollongong, Wynn Stadium, Dragons and Sharkies. Good to catch up with you, old mate.
Good on you, boys. Thank you.
There he is.
Thanks, Brandy.
Greg Alexander joining us on Sunday Triple M NRL. Now, you've got, I know that just, we've got to do Raging Bull next, and I know you've got a clear head, Gordon. I know you've got a clear head today, because yesterday, as you know, and again, you can verify that I'm not lying, I rang your place, rang your mobile phone, the lovely Gemma answered, and she told me that you were in the bath with a little bit of Radox and some bubbles and a bottle of champagne. Is that true or not?
Yeah, I had a bubble bath.
He had a bubble bath. God love him.
Well, it was Saturday. It was Saturday and I had not much on, so I put a bit of magnesium in there and just relaxed. So, like, I watched the game, and between games of footy, I just started the bath, and then the missus, like, I normally sit there drinking my Marone 4X Gold cans, and then she opened up a bottle of champagne after a couple of 4X Golds, and then...
Did she jump in the old Harry bath with you, mate, or are you just in there?
Well, we got a little boy, so, so I put him in there too, so it's... Two birds with one stone.
Right. Now, do you subscribe...
Is that bad, having a bubble bath?
Well, I mean, I don't think to do it.
When was the last time you had a bubble bath? Oh, you probably need to relax a little bit more.
I probably do. I don't... I've lived in my house for 10 years. I don't think I've ever gone in the bath.
Well, why do you have a bath?
You shot yourself out of a cannon a couple of minutes ago when you were talking to Gordon.
I know, I did.
Didn't you have the feathers
I've calmed down. Yeah. But do you subscribe to the theory?
Mate, I love a bubble bath.
My wife believes, Miss Portugal says, if you're going to have a bath.
She loves a bath too.
She does. She does love a bath.
Especially with all the petals all over it.
Yeah. Well, she burns the oils and gets the oils going and that and all the nice and the music, the soft music. See, sometimes we go up to that lovely. Valachi, what's that joint called on the Gold Coast?
Versace.
And you get in the, and they got a little bathhouse thing there.
Valachi was a mafia man.
What's the place called?
Versace.
The Versace. And they've got the beautiful bathhouse there, whatever you call it. And it's beautiful to get in there.
I thought that was blokes only.
we've discussed this previously. You've got an arrangement with the Versace.
I don't have an arrangement with them. I've got, I'm 53 years old and I've worked all my life. If I feel like staying at the Versace, which is a beautiful place up there at Main Beach,
Paul?
I just pull the money out and pay for it, off I go.
Paul, do you ever have a bath, a bubble bath or anything? It's a little treasure. It's free.
You know? A little treasure.
It is. No, you're not that relaxed. You can't lay in a bath. And
I've got a nice big bath at home.
You don't get in, Paul? I don't think to.
Look, he doesn't want to answer that question.
No, I don't want to answer that question.
Why not?
Because I just don't want people thinking about me in a bath.
No, maybe you can save like a bit of water because you're that short. Yeah, I mean, like, you only fill it half because the other one is going to be there.
Yeah, I could run in it, Gordon. I do laps around my bath.
Oh, dear. Anyway, you've had your bath. You're good to go.
Uber Eats. Yeah. So watched Cowboys Raiders and Broncos Warriors, had a bath, and then ordered some burgers and chips and then sat there and watched the footy. It was a great Saturday, actually.
All right.
Loved it.
Okay, well, that's nice to know that you're relaxed. And
You're so worried about a bubble bath.
I'm not worried about it. I just don't think to ever have a bath. You know, have you just got the normal size bath or have you got
no,
a bigger
one?
Yeah. Right, so I've just got the normal size bath. Do you have a shower before you have a bath?
No, I just jump straight in the bath.
Straight in.
And then jump out to get all the suds off.
Yeah, because you're all sweaty around the armpits and, you know, that's what I'm just thinking.
Oh, well, it's quite hot when you lay in a bath. You get a bit sweaty on top of the head.
All right, what we're going to do...
What's that laugh for, Festa?
No. That's all right, Festa. We'll take a break. We'll come back with Raging Bull as Triple M rocks the footy.
For McDonald's. Get your boots out! Triple M footy.
And welcome back to Sunday Triple M NRL. 14 minutes till kickoff, the Dogs Melbourne. We'll have score updates for you then. Dan will call the game live this afternoon at Wynn Stadium Wollongong. That's the Dragons and the Sharkies. Loads and loads of feedback about what Gordy Tallis should put in the bath here.
Yeah, what is it?
And Naomi from Doonside says, tell Gordy to put some chamomile. It's an ancient herb that's used to treat a variety of ailments.
Including, I thought you drank it. I thought that was a tea.
Well, you could probably drink it as long as you've had a shower before you got in the bath, I guess. And then we've had other people
suggest, God, you're weird.
You should put some little bit of lemon in there, or as you said, Paul, some Radox. But anyway, good. You've raised a good discussion there, and lots of emails too about a possum update from Paul as he caught the possum. Yeah, well, we'll do that very shortly as well. But right now, it's time for this.
Stand up and fight until you hear the bell. Watch him,
Yeah, it's won 5 major international sports radio awards in Geneva. Yeah. It's the award-winning segment, The Raging Bull. We let him off the chain, out of the bullpen. What are you raging about today, Fester?
It's actually raging good. my raging bull this week is about Tevita Pangai Jr. picking Tonga, and I think it's about time. State of Origin's been its own beast for a long time, and I started to get worried that it was going to turn into a glorified club jersey, and they were going around and trying to recruit the next good kid, whether he was born in New Zealand and gone whatever. And I think that our game was going down a real serious path of losing international football for good. So Sonny Bill Williams, Jason Temalolo, I think, knocked back Queensland. So there's been some real strong characters that have knocked it back to a point where Pangai Jr. picking Tonga is the best thing that could ever happen for our game. I'd rather lose as Queensland. I know everybody out there, but what about GI and all that kind of stuff? Well, that's all past, right? And then you got Luke Keary now that actually wrote an open letter to Queensland or to the game saying he wanted to play for Queensland. Well, they're the rules that we live in now. But let's not go out there and recruit. NFL international game gets stronger, and I still see the footage of when Tonga played England and that big sea of all the red and white flags out, and that was huge. That's what our game's got to get to. I think State of Origin can't get any better, won't get any bigger. As a Queenslander, we would rather lose with the team of Queenslanders. I still feel it's the same for New South Wales. They'd rather have a team run out there full of New South Welshmen, and if they're not good enough, they're not good enough. Wow. But I think you can live with it. I think if we keep on going out there and trying to recruit guys to come and turn it into a club jersey or come and play because it's money, and there's been Tamo in the past and everybody claims we've had Petro and Tony Carroll and all those guys, I think it's about time that it stopped and we really look at the international game first, because that's what everybody wanted to play. You wanted to play for your country. That's the highest pinnacle you can get. The next thing is State of Origin, and it was played between two states. And I think it's got to stay that way. And there's going to be arguments if someone's born in Melbourne and Perth, but we'll cross that bridge if they come in their superstars then. And maybe they can pick and, you know, pick a side when they sign an NRL contract. But until that happens, I really want to give Pangai Jr. a rap, because there was a chance of him playing State of Origin on maybe $100,000. You know, that's a bonus. And he's given that up to go and play for his homeland of Tonga. And I think it's fantastic for the game that he's going to go play, because Origin's about pride, it's about passion, it's about playing for the jersey that you love. It's not about playing for the jersey that they've come and recruited you for to get money from.
So. Yeah, good on you. Well said, Del. Very good.
My name's Gordy.
I'm sorry, Del, mate. I've been with Wendell. I've been with Wendell 4 days and nights straight.
Two ugly bald heads.
So, I can't see the raging bull watching Bold and the Beautiful.
No, I couldn't think so. But, I mean, you know, did you picture him in a Radox bath?
No, well,
not the only show you took us there. What about this? What's happening to the footballers? We've got one bloke having himself a little hot bath. The other bloke's watching the Bold and the Beautiful.
Yeah. But Paul, you said you have miles. Mate, Paul, you said you like having a bath.
No, I didn't. He said he does laps. Well,
he puts a bit of black tape in it. Swims laps in his tub.
Sunday Triple M NRL, Gordon Tallis, Paul Kent, James Hooper and Maroon. Please, no more emails and texts about...
I do watch Murder, She Wrote.
So. The possum. We're going to have a possum update next with Paul Kent. Possum update live from the Triple M studios as Triple M rocks the footy. Sunday Triple M NRL, and we've got the big game coming up at 4 o'clock today, live from the beautiful tropical city of Wollongong. The Dragons and the Sharkies at Wynn Stadium. Now, results this week: Penrith 16, Parramatta 10, Gold Coast 36, Manly 18, Knights 38, Roosters 12, Cowboys 22, Raiders 16, Broncos 8, Warriors 2, South 32, West Tigers 16. Those scores are all thanks to Tyre Power. Split round coming up. Penrith Manly next Thursday night on Triple M. Friday night, Parramatta Rabbitohs at Bankwest. And then the Sunday game, Titans Cowboys. So a split round, but still rugby league on next week ahead of Origin, which we have for you as well. Lots and lots of correspondence from Triple M NRL lovers asking about Kenty's possum. Has he caught the possum yet? What methods are you using? What is he going to do? Now, this is an interesting one we've had. What are you going to do when you catch the possum?
Look, I'm admitting defeat, Anthony. This possum, it's like having a newborn in the house. It keeps me awake all night.
He's in the roof.
He sits in the roof. And so what happened? Wednesday night, it sounded like they were holding the Olympics in my roof. There was just, like, it was like there were running races in the roof all night. And then the next night, there was a big fight in the roof. So I thought, oh, they've gone from the running track to the boxing
and
ring.
You say they've. Now there's more
they,
than one.
I thought it might have only been one. But the fact there was a fight, unless he's schizophrenic, I think there's two, at least two.
So right. Did you make a mistake by trying to give it peanut butter and apple, then he's called his mates over?
What's happened is I put the peanut butter and apple in. Now, the problem with peanut butter and apple is that the peanut butter seems to rot the apple, or it gets moldy very quickly. Mm. So you've got to constantly get up in the roof and keep changing it every day, which is a pain in the backside walking through my roof, Gordon. Do you like that? Mm. But then what happens is, so I end up changing. Someone said, oh, try marshmallow. They love sweet things. So I put marshmallow up there. They don't love marshmallow. They don't go near marshmallow, right? Then I got told, you got to put something smelly up there, something that got a bit of an odour to it. So I stole your lunch last week and tried that your tuna. But I ended up buying some dog food, put dog food in there. But they've worked out the trap's a trap. They're smart enough to figure that out. So yeah. I ended up ringing Possum Busters.
And is that what they're called, Possum Busters?
Possum Busters.
Oh, that's
and
original.
I said, listen, I've got a real problem here. And she said, are they ringtail or brush tail? And I said, oh, I don't know. She said, well, ringtail, they'll make all the noise in your roof when they come home between 1 and 3. Brush tail make the noise in the roof when they come home between 3 and 5.
Wow.
So I said, well, they're
shift
brush
workers.
Exactly. I don't know where they're partying, but anyway. So they come home between 3 and 5, and it's on. Like, they are constantly just running around in the room. It drives me, it's driven me mental. And so, in the end, I said to this lady at Possum Busters, I said, can you come and get it out of my roof? It's going to cost me some money. Mick Anders told me he had a possum in his roof. He did the same thing.
Right.
So they're going to come round. And I said, when you catch the possum, what do? They actually don't catch it. They just don't allow it to get back into your roof.
Right.
They put a one-way trap door in there or something like that. So he's going to be outside. So I'm going to keep trying to get him outside, because when I do catch him around, this is what you've got to do. You've got to take him over water. So I've got a river not so far from me, and Parramatta River, and I'll just take him over there, drop him over the other side, and they can just find a tree there or someone's house there, but they won't come over the water, come back to my place, because they are territorial. They will come back
to
your house.
Have you ever thought of putting a big carpet snake in there?
I've heard it. Yeah, I've heard that. But then I thought of that, Gordon, but then I'll have a snake problem. And I don't necessarily...
they won't make the noise.
I know that, but I think I'd rather have a possum problem than a snake problem.
I think so too, yeah. Well, anyway, mate, the possum...
He's
possum,
still there. It's been 3 weeks now. Three weeks.
Do you have a name for him, like Peppy or something?
No. That's a skunk.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm telling you. But I tell you, they are so noisy. It just thumps and thumps and thumps. Off he goes.
I tell you what, let's go to the Shire, 133353 Cronulla. Justin might just have the answer to your problem here, Kenty. Now, if you've just joined us, Paul Kent's got a possum in his roof. It's been there for 3 or 4 weeks. It's driving him berko. He can't get any sleep. Justin, can you solve this problem?
Sure can, mate. Ken, good afternoon. How are you?
Yeah, good, mate. Yeah.
That's good, mate. Look, I'm in pest control, mate. You got to block the hole first, wherever it's getting in, either overlap a roof or a ridge tile stuffed up.
Yeah, I know where he's getting in.
So you've got to block that first. Then put the possum cages, 2 of them at least, in the roof with just a bit of apple, half apple in there, each cage. When you catch them, pull them through the manhole and just let them go, mate. You can't take the possums more than 50 metres anyway. So you'd have to block the hole first.
So what do you mean? So just let them go?
They're stuck in the roof.
Yeah, but you put the cages in the roof and then they go straight to the cage, you pull them through the manhole and let them go.
Okay, easy. Good as gold.
All right, good on you, Justin.
I'll try that tonight.
Mm.
All right, mate, so block the hole first and then you'll get a lot more successful anyway catching them.
Yeah, good, because they still get out every night, and then they come home. It's like they're drunk when they come home. Yeah, when you're drunk, they're making noise and running around, not caring who's asleep, trying to sleep. That's what they're like.
thank you, Justin.
I'm loving possums now.
Yeah, we'll have a possum update for you. So do your possum homework, Gordon, because we'll have some questions about possums.
When is it your birthday, Paul?
September.
I might buy you a couple of possums. A couple more.
You should get him some, like, DVDs on possums.
You know what? I'd take it, Gordon, but you're not allowed to move more than 50 metres, unfortunately.
Yes. Hey, you know what? He just told you the rules, then, didn't you?
If you're going to let it go
at your front lawn.
Yeah. Well, anyway, you can go home now.
If the
now.
Hole's blocked, you can't get back in, so there you go.
You can go home now and work on your possum problem. And we'll catch you on NRL 360.
I've got a possum problem.
Can you mention this on NRL 360?
No. We're a serious show. We don't deal with knuckleheads like you guys. Yeah. So.
All right. Well, we'll see you next week.
Yeah. Why don't you take some serious work for once?
Well, you've got to mix it up, Paul. It's hot and cold. You've got to have serious and a bit of light and shade. You've got to have light and shade.
You got cash invoice.
No. Charity invoice. We'll catch you on NRL 360 and off the interchange bench, one of the Penrith Panthers' finest and Origin legend, Ryan Girdler, joins us as Triple M Rocks the Footy. See you, Paul.